Hi, Yuri Lepstein here, and this is the Renew Democracy Initiative audio newsletter. This week, we're changing things up a bit. After all, it's August. Europeans are off enjoying their generous vacation time, Americans are partying like it's, well, 2019, and members of Congress are doing whatever the hell it is they do in their home districts until Labor Day. In other words, it seems like Western democracy might not collapse, at least not for a few weeks. With that in mind, we've decided to focus on the fall and highlight three major elections. In Germany, Angela Merkel will be replaced by a new chancellor, the first in 16 years. In Haiti, a country in freefall, voters will determine the long-term replacement for assassinated president Jovenel Moïse. And in Honduras, a potentially destabilizing election will pit one corrupt official against another. Here's why you should care. Angela Merkel's 16-year reign is ending, and Germany will elect a new government in September. The new chancellor will lead the most influential country in the European Union, manage Germany's recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, and mediate an increasingly fraught relationship with other Western democracies as Germany finalizes the Nord Stream 2 pipeline with Russia. Still, this election is actually an encouraging one. Two candidates have a serious shot at winning, and both are defenders of liberal democratic norms. The most likely winner is Armin Laschet, who represents Merkel's party, the center-right Christian Democratic Union. If he wins, you can expect a continuation of Merkel's rule. Unfortunately, this also means a likely continuation of CDU's perpetual folly in believing that Russian money is politically neutral, and that it's possible to line the pockets of Russian kleptocrats, businessmen, without weakening European security. His main competitor is Annalena Baerbock of the Greens, who have worked hard in recent years to shed their label of being a party made up of hippies and pacifists. Their position on climate change has moderated, and their stance on authoritarian regimes like China and Russia has become more hawkish. So while a Baerbock government wouldn't cut off trade or diplomatic relations with either China or Russia, it would likely scrap the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, step up pressure on Russia for its military buildup near Ukraine, and ban the imports of certain products from China in response to CCP human rights violations in Xinjiang province. Whatever happens in September, German liberal democracy is going to fare well. Both likely chancellors are ardent supporters of mainstream politics. And while Baerbock is tougher on authoritarians, it's hard to fear the CDU's continuing leadership when German politics have been almost uniquely stable over the last decade. Moving on to Haiti, elections will be taking place in September and October. The Haitian presidential election was supposed to take place in October 2019, but President Jovenel Moïse pushed it to 2021, so he could serve a full 5-year term. Of course, he was murdered last month, plunging the country even deeper into crisis, with no end in sight. Moïse left Haiti without a functioning parliament or Supreme Court, and with two men simultaneously claiming to be prime minister. Even before Moïse's assassination, Haiti was racked by violent anti-government protests. Under this perfect storm, Haitians are supposed to choose the next president. Prime Minister and acting president Ariel Henry has said that his priority is to proceed with the September elections. But this will be no easy task. The election is running behind schedule, the Electoral Council needs reform since Moïse politicized it, and Haiti's major political parties have not even announced their candidates for the presidency or parliament. If Haiti's acting government can't hold an election that the people see as free, fair, and representative, the nation may be fated to continue its downward spiral. A new president could bring much-needed stability to the country. But they could just as easily hasten its descent into anarchy. Without knowledge of who will even appear on the ballot, what will happen in Haiti is anyone's best guess. Last, but certainly not least, we're turning our attention to Honduras, where on November 28th, citizens will elect a new president. The election comes as Honduras struggles with widespread corruption. Power and drug money go hand in hand in the country, and outgoing President Hernandez is implicated in a series of drug trafficking charges. Hernandez's successor on the National Party ticket, Nasri Asfura, embezzled $1.2 million while mayor of Honduras's capital. Asfura's main rival, Xiomara Castro, is married to former President Manuel Zelaya, who tried to illegally change the constitution in 2009 and was swiftly deposed in a coup. Also in the mix is Yanni Rosenthal of the Liberal Party, an ex-convict for, you guessed it, drug-related corruption charges, who just finished serving 3 years in American prison. The most likely outcome is a victory for Asfura, the ruling National Party's nominee. He is a highly effective political machine at his disposal that will pull out all the stops to get him elected, including, potentially, electoral fraud. It's Asfura's race to lose, and Hondurans can expect a continuation of the status quo. That could mean close ties with the U.S., moderate progress on economic development, and most likely, continued corruption and cartel influence. Asfura's best position opponent, Xiomara Castro, is not actually related to the famous Castros of Cuba, but her politics do resemble theirs. A socialist, she plans to change the constitution and move Honduras away from a free market economy. While her supporters hope she could reduce poverty like her husband's administration did, her radical politics might instead condemn Honduras to more instability and dysfunction. For Americans, neither option is a good one. The 2017 presidential election actually pitted the DEA, which was investigating President Hernandez's family for drug trafficking, against the State Department, which was supporting Hernandez because Zelaya, Castro's husband, wanted to align with Venezuela. November is a near repeat of the 2017 contest, and it seems like the result could also be the same. Without significant reform, Honduran drugs will keep coming north, and Honduran citizens fleeing violence and poverty will probably follow them. While it's not clear if any candidate can bring stability to Honduras, an Asfura or Castro victory will portend different futures for the country. One where drug cartels could continue to run wild, and another where the country could drift closer to Venezuelan-style radicalism. Whatever the result, American diplomacy will have to adapt.